All right. Happy to be joined by Nate Schmidt, Winnipeg Jets defenseman. Hey, Nate, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on, Dave. So, I know we were chatting a little bit backstage, but finally ready to get into some of the meat here. Has someone to jump on, so I'm pretty excited.
Well, I think we got to start with the idea that friendly Manitoba is quickly becoming Minnesota nice. And it just seems like everybody, I've used that line on Mike Greenlay before, just so you know, I'm going to be honest, but seriously,
right, take it.
Those guys, and is there a benefit to having that level of connectivity with guys from, like I said, from the top with Blake Wheeler to guys in the minors who all have Minnesota roots?
Yeah, I think anytime you can have, you know, the web of hockey, you weave it and have those types of, you know, connections with guys that, you know, when you come in, it just helps with comfortability. And when you come into the, and when you first come into the locker room, you know, hey, there's a familiar face. You know, that's Paul. I know he's not a Minnesota guy, but for me, like, that's Paul. Or Neil Pionk and I have been playing together. And no, we just brought in Austin Pagansky. Him and I went to the same high school, never played together, but now we train together and, you know, and spend a lot of time in the summer together. So you have these types of things and you look at how, you know, and we're close to home, you know, and that makes a big difference. Or, you know, mom and dad and family, people want to come up and visit, you know, hopefully we can do that, those things this year. But it makes it a lot easier when you have that type of familiarity, knowing that, you know, I mean, I know a lot of guys that are from Winnipeg too. You know, it's just kind of that they're all kind of cut from the same fabric, right? You know, your Cody Eakins, your Ryan Reeves, these guys that you've played with before, as well as all your Eastern Minnesota guys, that same type of fabric, that same type of mold of people, it makes your transition to this that much easier.
And, you know, you're from St. Cloud, Minnesota, which is only a 6+ hour drive. It depends on how fast you go.
Yeah,
but
my dad's driving.
I think it's probably a little quicker than that, but Google Maps says 6 hours. So we'll go with that for legality's sake. But just in terms of like that idea of being, you know, this close to home and allowing your family to be, like you said, provided everything's good and things open up, yeah, how nice will that be for you to be able to have the ability to have your family come up and watch you play games, and B, if you need to get down here, you know, you have quick access to it.
Yeah. And you know what, that's actually the first thing that you look at. You're like, okay, well, actually, how far actually am I away? You know, like when it comes to Christmas is actually like my favorite holiday. And I've always made it home. You know, this last year I wasn't able to do it, which was a huge bummer. But being able to, you know, get in the car, be back in, you know, 5-6 hours is a real treat. And like you said, family is such an important part into my life, and this is an important part of our lives as people. And I think that I got a lot of family that, you know, pretty crazy hockey fans that will be driving all the way up and rocking away the rocking away on, you know, your random Tuesday nights. You know, so I think that's such a huge part of it too. When you have that, whether it happens or not, you just know that it's there, right? And just know that you're mm-hmm. still close to home is something that you always kind of crave, having that type of, hey, you still go away for the year. So I still get to go away for the year, but I also do get to be close and come home. That's actually one of my favorite parts of being a pro. I love being at home in the summer. I love seeing all my family, but it is nice when you go away for the season. It's like, okay, well, as soon as you get to your city, it's like, as soon as you get to Winnipeg, all right, it's time to dial it in. I know I'm getting ready for the year. And your mindset kind of just flips a little bit when, you know, once you arrive and, you know, once we arrive in Winnipeg in a couple of weeks.
And, you know, it's only been about a month or just under a month since the trade went down with the Canucks. And so how is it from a mentality standpoint for you thinking that you're a Winnipeg Jet for like the next 4 years?
Yeah. You know what? At first you look at things, and you're like, wow, what can happen? Where am I going to slide in? Where are we going to live? All these things. But we alluded to this a little bit before, that familiarity with your team, with the organization. They've been incredible. And I'm staying at Cody Eakin's house when I first come up, so I don't have to worry about, you know, where we're living and what we're doing. So, you know, having that type of that time now to reflect back on it and say, man, this is a team that's going for it. Here's, you know, here's where we are, you know, here's where we want to be. You know, we want to, there's only one team up here, it's Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, the back-to-back champs, and that's where we want to be. And when you have a group and you start talking to, you know, some of the more veteran guys and guys, you know, all the guys that have reached out, you get that type of sense that this is the types of team that can get there, right? And that's what we want to be a part of as a hockey player. Like, that's what you want to be. You want to dive yourself into, you know, just jump in and just, and from the very beginning, understand that this is our goal here. We're not, you know, going through a rebuild. We're not going and trying to, you know, finesse our way through the season, just kind of depending on what we are. Are we buyers of the deadline? Are we sellers of the deadline? No, like we're going for it. And that's, like I said, that gets you excited. That gets me, it's a motivation factor. And, you know, after last year of COVID and having it be so, you know, incredibly tough on training and, you know, and all that, and all those types of things to have a regular summer to get back, I feel great. I'm really excited for the, you know, in a couple of weeks when we get up there and start, when we start camp.
What is your off season training regimen like? I know you said like you were up cutting lumber or cutting wood up by your property in Minnesota when the, I think the Jets, when we did the initial interview with you, but what is it like for you when you kind of, the season ends and you get a chance to kind of come back home to Minnesota and what sort of things do you do to get away from thinking about hockey?
Yeah, I think it's such a huge thing to have a mental reset after each year. You kind of have some reflection time about what happened, what worked for you, what didn't work for you. I think that it's a good part to look and see where you're at. You know, for me, it was getting home and just seeing the family and people that I hadn't seen in a long time, right? And just doing as much as you can. I've been outside. I've been, you know, I'm in a beach volleyball league with some of my family and cousins, a couple of my, you know, my buddy of mine, just go around, hit the ball around a little bit, and you play some softball. I think I played about 7 or 8 charity golf tournaments. So I've had a little bit of everything this summer. I've been to Vegas a few times. Just to, you know, because I still got my place down there, to, you know, just kind of play some golf with some friends that you haven't seen. And it's just, it's, you know, playing the charity softball game down there, I mean, which was fantastic. You know, it's just, it's kind of one of those things where this summer has been go, 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 go. And a lot of times, you know, this time of year, I like to kind of bring things back down a little bit, which is going to happen in these next 2 weeks, because kind of get yourself into that mindset of, okay, I'm starting to get on, it's back into hockey mode. Not that you haven't been training and skating all summer, but you're kind of training and skating at a pace where it's like, okay, well, now I'm really starting to get in that ramp up stage, especially when you hit the ice, you know, which has been kind of the big thing this week. You can kind of tell the pace has increased, the mentalities have increased, you know, the type of competitiveness has, you know, increased. You know, Eric Hall and I were playing last night in the Beauty League. Had a nice little cross-checking battle in the, you know, in the last minute of the game because, hey, no one wants to lose. You know, that type of competitiveness starts to come back, you know, mm-hmm. at this time of year.
Well, I wasn't going to bring it up because I know you've talked about it a number of times, but since you did mention the softball, the celebrity softball tournament that you played in Vegas, first of all, you guys raised a lot of money for charity, which is in itself a good thing, obviously. But you did make a rather spectacular catch, and there's proof of it because we've seen the video. So maybe tell everybody about that.
So Reeve and Ryan Reeves and I were playing left field and left center together. We're just kind of chatting around, right? And we were just kind of just talking about, you know, the guys, I mean, the air is pretty thin there. So guys, you can hit home runs decently easy. And I was just going to jump over the fence and like catch one as like, you know, as a joke. It's just, and then sure enough, as this ball got hit, he goes, ah, it's gone. And I was like, I don't think so, man. And then I started running back. Obviously, the video shows about as best, as good of a catch as I can make. kind of flip over the. I was actually, when I started going over, I was like, "Oh no!" But yeah, it was super fun, and that was the first event in a year and a half I'd played with fans. It was cool to hear the roar of a crowd again. Yeah, it was like you said, raised a ton of money, had a bunch of fun. You know, the guys that are down there, it was just good to see everybody. And, you know, the whole Raiders, you know, them being there was 3 days before their camp opened, which was really cool too. It was just, it's a really special event. And hopefully, I mean, guy, I hope more guys have a chance to play in that thing someday. I hope that they can maybe get 1 or 2 games down there because it was awesome. You know, something that, you know, most charity events are great. You know, obviously raising money is huge, but you have that opportunity to go and do what we did. It was a fantastic time.
You know, and you mentioned the Beauty League, and we you know, pay attention because quite a few Jets players, and you mentioned Austin. I think he's ripping it up. I think he's third in scoring from what I could see. And
it's wild.
He's Jets fans are going to be a little excited about this guy. He's creating a legend for himself in the Beauty League. But how much fun is it to play? I know you say you like to take that time off and relax and get away from hockey, but then to give yourself that opportunity to kind of get those competitive juices going a little bit, obviously not guys aren't trying to hurt each other, but just to kind of ramp up for the season. How good is that for you?
I honestly think it's one of the best things that happens for us in the summer, because a lot of times if you play 5-on-5 or 4-on-4 in a different setting, it's the games are still good, but you know, you can kind of tell that after a while the guys will get a little bit, you know, not that they'll lose interest, but it's just kind of one of those things where it just doesn't have there's nothing. I mean, you're playing for something, but not really. You're out there playing for something, you know, when playing the video league, which is great. And actually it starts, you can tell each week goes like this. It just climbs a ladder and a competitiveness. And like I said, last night's game, our first playoff game was the last half was very close to what a real game would be like. And I just think that no one wants to kind of look bad. And so all of a sudden that's the reason why everything starts to ramp up. And back to, yeah, but Pogo, man, that guy has been freaking tearing it up. I hope if he can carry this momentum over, he's going to be our leading scorer by Christmas.
But, you know, Nate, one of the things I was reading an article today, and they were talking like it's not just about you guys and you know, obviously ramping up. I mean, that's primarily what it is, I would imagine, but it's also about giving back to the Minnesota community. And it seemed like I know you played in I don't want to get the name wrong, the Minnesota Special Hockey Athletes game, right? And so that's kind of like what I mean. And I, you know, I've seen a lot of like the social media, like kids, hey, go talk to this guy. I want to talk to this guy. It's nice that you guys are able to not only do this to your own benefit, but also to help out fans who, A, like you said, haven't even really been around, get a chance to interact with players and meet you guys.
Well, and that's actually the coolest part about just the hockey community in general, is that it's such a small community. But at the same time, you know, as the year goes on, you know, to see as many, you know, pro players that are in there and you know, and just and having fun and they're kind of trying new things. You wouldn't see a guy like, I mean, I know I do, especially in the first couple of weeks, you try things you would never even in a million years think of trying in an actual game. But that's the fun of it, right? So you get to see guys kind of go out there and play without having the fear of, well, the only fear is getting put on Twitter or Instagram if something bad happens. But just the time of seeing kids, and I mean, we haven't had that type of interaction. That's one thing I love about playing. I mean, I love playing, but it's fun to see, you know, I was always too shy to probably walk up to a player growing up. So the guy was trying to like look in the back to see if there's someone that's maybe in the back that is a little bit more shy and talk to him. Hey, how's it going? Where are you from? Like, what position do you play? You know, I remember the other night I was like, hey, like we drove my way up here after last year and just want to say thank you so much for coming. And it was so cool. Like that's the reason why we play. And that's the reason why I love going and being at this event. You see all the kids yelling and screaming and getting excited for big goals and whatnot. And I mean, watch a bunch of NHL guys for $15, you know, it's, I don't think you can't find an NHL ticket for that.
not anymore. Unfortunately, not anymore. For a lot of people are saying, but you know, I guess that's one thing that's pretty clear in your interviews is how much you appreciate the game, how much you respect the game, but also how much fun you have in the game. And I often wonder sometimes, how important is that element? And I, like I said, I've spoken to players, and last year, for example, the Moose, they went on this crazy run. I said, how much more exciting is it when you're winning? They said, yeah, it makes it more fun. You come to the rink. But even when things are tight with the group, how important is it to inject fun, levity, that sort of thing? And that's obviously an element that you bring.
Yeah. It's hard for me because I think it's a twofold thing. You always got to know. You know, like I've had so many guys in my career that I looked up to. You know, Brooks Orpik was, you know, one of my first mentors. Him and Mike Green were just like, hey, man, be a pro, but also have as much fun as you can doing your job every day. And you know what? And the rest of it will take care of itself. You know, so I've really adapted that. You know, when I head into the weight room, I'm in the weight room and I am going to be dialed in that day, and I'm going on the ice for practice. You know, if I'm really got to work on something that day, it's like, okay, I'll dial in for that. But I really want to have fun while doing it, because at the same time, let's just say the team doesn't play very well or you're not playing very well and you start, it's that mental battle of going back and forth of, oh, I'm not playing well, but I can't really, you know, I don't want people to see that, you know, I'm doing this or that. Or, you know, for me, I just think that those times in your day when work isn't going well or things are hard, it's really tough to kind of bring that positive, you know, but that's the stuff that brings you back. It's one good play. It's one good pass. It's a goal that you may have won off your butt, you know, and all of a sudden you're back in the game. Your confidence is back. And I think, this game, you know, there's a lot of pressure to it. You know, it's just one of the things that goes along with being a hockey player and being a professional athlete. Just it's one thing they don't teach you when you first come up the ranks. But but for me, having that type of, you know, getting a draft Masters golf pool going, or bringing Mario Kart on the road, just to like, for you just to kind of reset yourself before you have to dial the next day, I think is an incredibly huge, you know, an important thing for anyone in any job.
Well, and you know, we know the energy that you'll be able to bring to the, you know, whether it's the locker room or on the ice, but how big a boost, and how much more appreciation do you have now for what fans bring to a game after what you guys experienced, you know, basically in the last couple of seasons?
Dude, I gotta tell you, I don't know if I how many years I would have left if we didn't have fans in the building. You know, it's really hard. It's really hard not to have that energy and that you know, you come out and, you know, it's just I don't know. I'm really big into that energy thing, and you feel people when they're coming in, they're excited, and there's excitement or there's nervousness or whatever that is when you come into a game, or, you know, anxious to see it start. You know, the Jets are playing, the Blackhawks, and it's a really tight race or whatever it is, and it's like, wow, that's a big game, and you feel that type of nervous excitement. I just think it really goes hand in hand with being, just being in the game in the moment. I think it's an incredible part of the game, and something that me and I know a lot of guys this last year and a half have truly, truly missed.
Well, one of the things that you're also involved in, so you got hockey, but you're also involved in a little bit of a business venture, I understand. Yeah, you're repping the short side t-shirt. So I understand short side hockey. Tell us about short side hockey and how you got involved.
Yeah, well, me spinning my selling shoes has been an interesting thing here. Shortside Hockey is a hockey tape company that a couple of Minnesota guys have started. My best friend got pulled on to it to help with financials. And so last year, they was sent me some stuff to try. This was trying all these samples, this and that. And finally got a product we really liked and guys were starting to use. And, you know, guys were like myself and Alex Adler were using in games, and we really liked it. And there's been quite a little bit of a buzz, and I got home and they said, hey, do you want to come on board? And I jumped on board a small piece of the pie, but we have a great thing here. I think that really good thing going between our four guys and how we have our each guy brings something to the table. They kind of like, hey, you know what, we just want to kind of help you and have some connections. Now I'm like front lines, I'm calling like a high school coaches and you know, making, they're like, hello, I'm like, yeah, this is Nate Schmidt, you know, short side and the Jets, and they'd be like, what? Who is this? And I was like, Nate's like, no, nah, come on. And I'm like, yeah, like, they're like, what are you calling? You know, I'm like, I have tape to sell you, you know. And it's actually so cool. It's such a small community, right? And so it's fun to, I mean, I had to call my college professor in my sales training class. I've been keeping in touch with them, you know, like every year or so, we'd, you know, send an email back and forth. I'm like, hey, Professor Gaddy, it's Nate Schmidt here. You know that class I took from you? Like, can you give me a crash course in like 30 minutes on whatever you taught me? And so, first couple of people I talked to was just like, hey, Schmidt, you're like, well, you know, we'll buy it from you. We really like it. I'm like, no, you got to let me spin my selling shoes here. Like, you got to let me practice.
So,
it's been fantastic. I really like our product. A lot of our guys, the Beauty League, have been using it. We actually sponsored the Beauty League for the playoffs just to get some tape in the guys' hands. And it's actually been a lot of fun. There's been a lot of buzz about it. And we're very new, but you know what? We have got some good momentum.
Well, for sure. And like, you know, that, I mean, it's a new venture, right? Like, it's, you know, it doesn't take away from your, what you're doing really from hockey, because really it's kind of part of hockey.
Yeah. So
it's kind of allows you to kind of kill two birds with one stone. I know you're not supposed to say that anymore, but it's true. Right. So like, it allows you to be in the room and you can say, hey, you know, Blake Wheeler, do you want to use, short side stick tape?
Trust me. Bet your bottom dollar, there's going to be stuff in every guy's stall. I'd be like, I guess you try this out for me, and then we'll go talk to Jay and see if we can get it in the locker room. But no, it's like I said, and for me, you're only on board with the product that you'll use and you actually believe in. And you know, that's kind of the one reason why I wanted to hop on, you know, because I believed in it because I was trying it out. I saw what it was to what it became, you know, once we finally worked out all the kinks and all that stuff and all that good stuff. But yeah, it's the four of us are just kind of, we're small. One of the guys runs all the stuff out of his, you know, out of his spare bedroom. You know, we sell all the tape and all the apparel out of there. So we're a little, we're small, but we do have a long ways to go, but we're excited about it. We're trending though.
We're trending in the right direction. Now, yeah. Here's the question though. I believe if I looked at your stats correctly, you had at least 3 goals in the beauty league. So are any of those short side goals?
Yeah, I would say, I think I'm pretty sure all of them are, because as the guys have been saying lately, it's a lifestyle. Once you put that tape on your blade, it becomes a lifestyle. And it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of become a mind of its own. So it's been fun, you know, just being around the rink and having something. And this is what I always wanted to do, right? I mean, my mom and dad, you know, did gas stations, convenience stores, started with one. My dad called them, they were called Schmitty's, right around central Minnesota. So he got up to about 15 or 16 of them until it got to be a little bit too much, you know, and so we've gotten a little older. Now he's down to, I think, you know, 2 or 3 now. But it was just so much fun seeing someone go through that. You know, I was there. I was painting the gas islands. I was cleaning the car washes and stocking the coolers and, you know, kind of at the ground up and watching my dad do it with me, you know. And mm-hmm. It was really fun to watch him build his brand and build his business. And I was like, I always wanted to try that. I always wanted to be a part of something like that. And with Shortside, I thankfully gotten that opportunity.
Yeah, and you, like you said, it's kind of like at the forefront, right? Like you're just starting out, and you'll see how it goes. But it is always fun to be part of something and seeing it grow and getting an opportunity to kind of help with that process.
Yeah, it's kind of like you right now, like with you and your, you know, back was 2009. I think you said you guys were
2009. Yeah,
2009. I mean, how, like, think about where you started to where you are now. I mean, got any tips for a guy?
I'll have to do some consulting off the side. I don't want people to question my impartiality. So that might have to be a side gig, side hustle.
Yeah. Consulting fee, right? It's a small fee.
Yeah. Very small, very small for you. I'll give you a good deal, but like, you know, I mean, obviously, okay, you brought up the name Illegal Curve. How particular are you? I mean, we've talked to guys about their sticks. Are you one of those guys, you know, in combination with the idea of short side, but like, are you, how focused are you? How much time and energy do you spend on your sticks? Are you like I remember Blake Wheeler used, I think Mark Scheifele's and scored with it. So then he started using his blade. Guy who spends a lot of time focused on that?
I had used the same curve when I was in high school, all the way up to probably my second year, third year pro. I broke a bunch of sticks, honestly, and didn't have any really, because I was going up and down between Hershey and Washington, and it wasn't to anyone's fault. It just happened, you know, like we got called up and I didn't have all my stuff with me. So I just kind of pulled some guys off the rack and Washington's Jacob Rana's and just started using it. And I used a pretty straight curve just for the fact that when I play on my offside, you have to make a lot of backhand plays. And it was more of a paddle, you know? And so I could make a lot more plays there. And it's, you know, it's a little bit easier to pull pucks off the wall when you have that little, you know, more of a backhand to it, especially when I play on that side. And so I got, you know, really used to that, but I kind of found that it did hinder a little bit of my shooting. So this summer, actually, I took the same curve and just add a little bit more to the toe and been working with it. And honestly, shot feels a lot better. I just figuring the backhand out, not having pretty much this is, you know, with the backhand, having that type of, you know, just sheer surface area of a backhand, you know, has been a little bit different, but it didn't take very long to kind of start figuring it out. So I usually don't tinker at all. Like I've been really used like 1 or 2 curves for the last 15 years. And I would even say it's even maybe more than that. So I just, you know, I've been kind of the same at all at pretty much all times. I mean, they just change the graphic on my stick every year and send it to me. Oh, no. Just, like, they're like, "Hey, we gotta give you a new stick." I'm like, "Can this be the same one, please?" And they're like, "Yeah, we'll just change the graphic and you're good. It's the same one."
Basically the same thing.
If I changed it, I wouldn't even have noticed.
you know, Nate, you mentioned Brooks Orpik, and or you mentioned Washington, but you also mentioned Brooks Orpik. And I remember, I think one of the interviews you were doing earlier with the like a media a grouping, you were talking about the idea of like when you came into the league, obviously you're a left shot guy, but you moved over because Brooks Orpik was on the left. So you moved over to the right because you weren't taking his spot.
Yeah.
So I had a couple of questions. One is, how hard was that adjustment at the pro level? And B, I guess, which ties into A, is that something you had done you know, at the University of Minnesota or in the USHL?
So I played on the left side, you know, growing up, I played on the left side until I got to the University of Minnesota because I didn't play my freshman year. I was like, I know we got a lot of really good lefties. And then we brought in, you know, Mike Riley, who's in Boston, Brady Shea, you know, who's in Carolina. And I was like, oh, man. And I remember the coach being like, you might need to try and you have to play on the offside. And so I did it the last 2 years when I was in college. But the caveat to that, I was playing on Olympic size ice, and you have a whole heap of a lot more time than you do on an NHL size ice. And the pace between college and pro is quite significant. So when I moved up to Washington, or when I was in Hershey, went back to playing the left side. But when I got into Washington, it was like, well, you're not really going to stay here unless you figure out if you can play on the offside. Yeah. And I was like, yep, I can do it. No problem. And I mean, at that point, you just say, yes. Do you penalty kill? Yes. Do you play left wing? Yes. Did you take draws? Yes. You know, like whatever. Yes, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And so, it was more difficult. You play on a smaller sheet. But you kind of find where you can put yourself so you don't get in trouble. And that's even something that, I even worked with. It's been a work in progress. Honestly, since I kind of come into the league, I've just started to kind of really know where the spots are I can and can't go, because just how you're positioning, and you kind of, you know, if you're on your forehand, you lose a little bit of your vision looking up ice because your body's facing the other way. So those types of things are something that you just have to get used to over time, just kind of knowing where your plays are. Like, make your one read, make your second read. Okay, if it's not there, this is the last option. There's no look them off, go this way, go that way, see what's happening. Mm-hmm. It's just because you're shut off from half the ice. That's why, you know, that's, I guess, one of the negatives. But playing defense on that side is actually in my opinion, a little bit easier because it's to the outside. You don't have to worry about someone crossing you over because you're not reaching across your body. So there are definitely some benefits of doing it.
You know, and we had, I asked some folks if they wanted some fans, if they wanted to ask some questions. And one of them asked about if you've already, I know, obviously you've talked to Paul Maurice, but have you had any sort of indication as to, will you be playing with Josh Morrissey? And even if they haven't given you any sort of confirmation, have you been able to envision, because you obviously, I remember we were talking like during that media availability, and you knew the whole lineup, obviously you knew the Jets top six. So you were going through it. And you were saying, oh, I play with this guy. But have you, now that, like I said, a month has passed, have you given more thought as to the idea of, like, I can play with this guy, I can play with this guy?
Yeah, and for me, I actually kind of envision myself. It's weird. I can kind of envision myself in my game with each of these three guys. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, for some reason, I can be like, oh, man, like, Neil and I have played together in the Beauty League. I know how he likes to play. I know how I can kind of sense when he wants it, or what, you know, where he wants it. You know, the Brandon Dillon, he reminds me a lot of Brady McNabb. I'm like, okay, that one's easy for me. I've had that one for the last couple of years. So that one's, you know, that one's a little bit easier than a big, rough, tough, stay-at-home guy that can chip in, but, you know, also is, you know, really an SOB to play against. I'm like, hey, like, I know how, you know, I go with this. Mm-hmm. Now, Josh and I would say is probably more of the caveat, because we're both, I would say, pretty similar in how we like to play. Mm-hmm. And so, you look at yourself and like, oh, you know what? We could do this, you know, especially if I play on the right side with him, which a lot of times when I play on the right side and being able to kind of adapt and adjust yourself up the ice where you can kind of hit him underneath, I think it's a really kind of a cool thing that kind of has been popping and percolated in my mind a little bit, and having him, you know, kind of catching, you know, because for me, I think it's so cool when D-men are second wave and they catch pucks underneath the rush and can go in and kind of weave their way and either kick out or, you know, create those extra 3-on-2s. I think it's such an important part of the modern day defenseman that can jump up and be that kind of that second wave, but also have that that attack mentality through it.
Okay, well, we got the last one for you, and it was about the USHL. It was about your time in the USHL, and the person was wondering, why did you have 81 penalty minutes in that 1 year in 2009-10 when every other year you've been consistently under 30? See, I told you, Manitoba fans, Jets fans are they do their research. They know what's going on.
Well informed. I wouldn't call myself a goon by any means, but our team was incredibly tough. And so it allowed it happened all the time. I'm pretty sure I was involved in 5-6 line brawls. I probably got kicked out of 2 or 3 games. Like, it was, I mean, I think I had about four, five, six different fights that year. Like I was, I mean, that's why, I mean, I don't know if you can see it. That's the reason why I got the scar over here. yeah, I mean, I think I crunched a guy from behind one game. We were down like 8-2 and he like tried to like reverse hit me and I just didn't move. Mm-hmm. And he kind of like hit me and blew himself up into the boards. Mm-hmm. And then a kind of a melee ensued. And so I'm pretty sure I walked out of there with like 17 penalty minutes. So I had quite a few, like, you know, I mean, our team was tough, really tough. Like we got guys from the WHL like to come down and play for us. It was, we started a game. So right after I hit that guy, we played him 3 days later and they're like, you got to start. You're probably going to have to, you know, get one of their dummies to come grab you. One of their meatheads to come grab you. And sure enough, we started our four guys and me. But I was like, oh, goodness. I was like, I can't believe it. I look across there. It's like 6'4", 6'5". And I'm like, oh, my God, which one? He goes, and we had this 6'7", Belo Russian defenseman, Oleg Ivanko. He goes, Schmitty, I grab on both. I will grab on to both of them. You hang out. I was like, Oleg. He's like, yes, I got you. So that's just, it was a good time. It's weird. It's how those things happen. But hey, gotta find a way. Sometimes, you know, as a rookie, you just do what you gotta do.
Well, I guess you also had to get it all in before you went to the University of Minnesota because you couldn't fight once you got to college.
It's like a big fighter. I mean, I only have two pro fights, and it's not like I've asked a couple guys. I think the last couple of years, but I think it's a little bit different now. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't. Mm-hmm. The heavy, like the mega heavy, tough, you know, heavyweights are a little bit fewer and far between now. And so it's kind of into that middleweight class. And the game's so fast, it's hard to lose guys for 5 minutes. You go down to 5D for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes. You know, it kind of takes a toll on you a little bit, you know. So it's a lot harder because, you know, there's no, you know, really breaks in the game. We're playing against, you know, when I first came to the league, it was like, oh, you play against the fourth line. It's just a bunch of tough guys just trying to run around a little bit, but, or some veteran guys that are very good defensively on the PK. But now it's up and down the lineup. Everyone can skate. Everyone can move. Everyone can make plays. You always got to be on your toes.
Well, you'll be on your toes in Winnipeg in the next few weeks. Enjoy the last few weeks in Minnesota. Thanks. Good luck in the Beauty League playoffs and good luck with Shortside. So, Jets fans, Moose fans, people in Manitoba should be keeping their eyes peeled for Shortside stick tape, correct?
That's right. That's right. Go shortside.com. We'll see you guys there. But no, thanks, Dave. Really appreciate you having me. Jets fans, I'm excited to see you guys in a couple weeks. Let's pray that we all can get inside the rink safely and in the most capacity we can.
Perfect. Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.